Today we happen to be looking at 2 Kings. This is a different message than normal. Normally I speak in an expository manner, that is, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But that's not going to be the case today, because today we want to look at moms, we want to look at mothers. And so it's going to be a tribute to mothers. And 2 Kings chapter 22, if you have your Bibles, if not, it'll be there on the screen for you, but there is a Bible available for you there in the pew before you. 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Just two verses this morning. We're looking at this man and this woman, his mother, and his name is Josiah. Her name is Jedidiah. Let me read it for you. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adaiah of Boshcath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. This is a really a precious, precious portion of scripture, because it reminds us of a godly mother. And there are many godly mothers in the Word of God, but I want to focus on this lady that kind of sandwiched is in between the rest of the other godly ladies we see, and sometimes she's overlooked because she's only mentioned a few times in the Word of God. Today, of course, we think of moms, and probably the most precious word next to the word Jesus in the English language is the word mother. Mother is the most precious word that we have. So we want to speak about mothers today. And we know our Lord wants us to remember our mothers. Of course, part of the Ten Commandments is honor thy father and thy mother. Sometimes we forget that that was written by the very hand of God in stone. And God wants us to remember our fathers and our mothers. And that means not just remember them, but remember them with loving kindness. And love is shown in action. Love without action is not really love at all. So love has to be displayed, if you will. And so we understand that even the Lord on the cross, before he said, it is finished, before he said, I thirst, before he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, John, behold thy mother, and woman, behold thy son. He was really saying, in essence, John, please take care of my mother. I've been working in the carpenter shop as the eldest of the family, and I've been caring for my mother for years. I've been supporting my mother. Now, John, I'll be gone, so please take care of my mother from this point on. And John did, as far as history tells us and tradition tells us. And so I believe it's only right for us to speak about moms today, because moms are so precious to us, and I know to you as well. We know that it is one of the sweetest words, if not the sweetest word in the English language, the word mother. It is usually the first words that our lips speak. Once we learn how to speak and say sentences or say a word, usually it's mama or mom or something of that nature, or ma. And usually it's the last word that is often spoken before we leave this world, as we call for our mothers. It's a sad situation. It is the anchor that has held back many lives from the rocks of destruction in life. It is the magnet, really, that has drawn many of the great hosts of the sons and daughters back from the ways of wickedness in the world to serve God. We can never travel too far. We can never rise too high. We never stoop too low to treasure the word mother. And so it's only fitting that we really, like, weave a garland of praise around our mother's brow today, and thank God for the lady God has blessed us with to care for us, and that went through the valley of the shadow of death to bring you into this world, to bring me into this world. We don't realize what that is. Us men will never realize what that's like, for these ladies to have gone through the valley of the shadow of death to bring into this world their loved ones. And she is mother. She may not be to have the grace of a society leader, but she is mother. She may be lacking in knowledge of science and philosophy, and you know, may not have a PhD, but she is mother. She may not be a politician, praise God for that, but she is mother. She may be no Joan of Arc that can lead an army to victory, but she is mother. It was Florence Nightingale who said, of the men that she saw die on the battlefield, many of them died calling for mother. Many of them died calling for mother. So this morning I would like to speak to you about motherhood. And there are many wonderful mothers mentioned in the Bible. There's Sarah, there's Rachel, there's Hannah, whom I mentioned earlier in the earlier message. If you haven't seen it, again, it's all the messages are available online. There are two messages every Sunday given from this pulpit, one privately on video now. That's the 9:30 message, and, of course, the 11 o'clock service given for us publicly as well. And I spoke about Hannah earlier today. And there's Mary, of course, and then there's Rebecca, and then there's Jochebed, the mother of Moses, and then there's Elizabeth, and there's Ruth, and there's many others. But we're going to go bypass and all those mothers today, and we're going to look at this godly mother named Jediah here. Now, what did Jediah do that made her such a wonderful lady that's recorded in Scripture here? What did she do? Well, she raised a son by the name of Josiah, and she trained this Josiah to be a godly man, to love the Lord with all of his heart. And he was one of the greatest kings the nation of Judah ever knew, according to the Bible. Josiah banished idolatry from the land of Judah totally. Josiah threw down all the heathen altars and stopped all the false worship. Josiah led a time of worship and in revival in Judah like they never had before. Josiah lived the godly life before the Lord and his people. In fact, so much so that 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 25 says of Josiah, "And like unto him, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all of his heart and all of his soul and all of his might, according to do all the law of Moses, neither after him rose there any like him." So there was no king like Josiah. He was the best there was. That's what the Bible tells us. Not before him, nor after him. He was a great man of God indeed. And Jediah was his mother. Jediah was his mother. Now it says here that he rose to the throne when he was 8 years of age. So she stilled within him, even at those young years, her godly faith. She planted in him the seed of a mother's faith. She fertilized it with a mother's love, and she watered it with a mother's prayerful tears. And so she raised a son who saved the nation, brought the nation back from the brink and the precipice of disaster. She brought that nation back through this godly young man she raised. But beyond that, why was she a great mother? Not only did she did that, but Jediah reared this son who the Bible says was one of the greatest kings in the nation of Israel ever in Judah. She did it in spite of the fact that her husband was an extremely wicked man. He didn't support her at all. He wasn't a godly man at all. He didn't believe in God at all. And she did it in spite of him. Her husband was Ammon, one of the darkest blots on the pages of human history in Judah. He was a vile man. He was a wretched man. He was a corrupt man. He was an ungodly man. He was a murderous man. And yet, Jediah, with a husband like that and a father like that to her son, was still able to raise a godly son by the name of Josiah. What an uphill struggle she must have had. What a battle must have been for her. Can you imagine such a thing? When Jediah barred the front door to Satan and the devil, her husband Ammon tried to open the back door of their house. And yet, Jediah made a Josiah out of the son of Ammon. Can you imagine such a thing? So this morning we want to honor all the Jediahs that we know in this congregation and in our lives through the years. We want to honor those Josiahs. And I'm thankful for you ladies, and many of you are Josiahs, Jediahs that raised a Josiah for the Lord. I'm really blessed to pastor here. You know that. I thank you for the privileges now going on 36 years. I'm in my 36th year here as pastor, and 15 years before this in Connecticut. And I've really had the privilege of pastoring some of the most wonderful ladies in all the world. Ladies that have struggled, ladies that have gone through difficult times, ladies that have really did what Jediah did here for Josiah, her son. And I've been privileged just to be part of that that mix a little bit and be part of their lives. I've watched children grow up and become adults and then have their own children. I've watched it through the years, teenagers grow up and become mothers themselves. And I want you to know, I thank God for you ladies. I thank God for you ladies, because you ladies are doing more for America than anybody could do in a corporate world. You ladies are doing more for America than any politician, lady, that maybe a politician is doing. You ladies are really raising the next generation that hopefully will be like a Josiah, that will lead this nation back to God and will lead their homes in a godly manner, as you have tried to lead your home in a godly manner, in spite of maybe having an ungodly husband or an unsaved husband, or a man who really is just not a spiritual leader at home at all. It's a sad situation when that happens. You know, everything that Jediah believed, her husband Ammon did not believe. Everything Jediah taught her little son Josiah, her husband Ammon, was opposed to it. When she taught him honesty, her husband tried to teach him dishonesty. When she taught him purity, he tried to teach him impurity. But against all the winds blowing against her, she was faithful, she was loyal to her God, and she did what she knew she needed to do, and she made the son of Ammon into a Josiah that was a great, great king. And so I'd like to honor the Jediahs that are here today and that are watching, that are doing what they possibly can do for their families to raise the next godly generation. Let me just mention a few of the characteristics that I see and some of the Jediahs and that I've known and you know as well. First, I'd like to honor those mothers who are raising or have raised their children against the downward tug of a father. Every time she tries to pull the son or the daughter up in the right direction, the father tries to pull him down in the wrong direction. I know a little bit about that because, as you know, if you've read my autobiography on the webpage, that when I was only 5, my sister only 3, my father came home one day, stood at the front door. I can remember like it was yesterday. My, where'd those years go? That was 70 some years ago. I remember my dad standing at the front door and my sister and I, 5 and 3, and he said, "Your mom and I aren't going to live together anymore. Your mother and I aren't going to live in the same house together anymore." We didn't know what the word divorce meant. We didn't know any of that stuff. Well, 3 and 5. So he said, "We're not going to live in the same house anymore. So if you want to live with me, come and stand by me. If you want to live with your mother, go and stand by your mother." Can you imagine giving that proposition to a 3 and 5-year-old? I don't know if he talked to my mother about that prior to this, but all I know that my mother looked as shocked as I did, and I knew there was problems there because he had been seeing another woman, and it was a sad situation. And so I learned later, but I was, of course, we were 5 and 3, we were around my mother most of the time. So what else did we know but my mother? My dad was always at work. My mother was the housewife, and so she cared for us. And so we just went and stood by my mother. And until this day, I thank God that I went and I stood by my mother, because I was raised by a godly mother. My mother believed the Bible. She knew the Lord as her Savior. My father did not. As far as I know, he died not believing the Bible or believing in Christ. My mother went to Sunday school and church every Sunday. My father never went. And it wasn't easy for my mother to go to Sunday school and church, because we didn't have a car. After my father left us, my mother never drove up until I went into service. Then she learned how to drive later. But my mother never drove. She would have to walk up to the nearest bus stop, would be about a half a mile away from here where we're located, to the Harrison House restaurant. She'd walk up there, and that's before bus shelters and all that. You know, you stood under a tree if there were any trees. If it was raining, snow, sleet, ice, cold, hot, whatever, you just stood there and you waited for the bus to come. If it was 15, 20 minutes late or early, you missed it, you caught the next one. It was a sad situation. We were the last one on the line anyway, so the bus didn't go down our street. It just came down a half a mile away from us. And so my mother did that 5 days a week, and went on Sundays when she could have stayed in bed and got some rest. She got us all up. We walked up to the same bus stop, caught the Sunday school bus coming from the church. And I remember we rode to Sunday school, went to church on the Sunday school bus and drove, but was driven back to that same bus stop and then walked back home again. We lived down like a little alley in the back area, so the bus couldn't even get down that street anyway. And so I praise God that I was raised by a Jediah that raised me. And so this morning, I can see you sitting there. You're sitting there by yourself this morning. You're sitting there wishing your husband was here, wishing your husband believed, and wishing your husband, has still had the same faith that maybe you once had and lost or has drifted away from or has never believed in the first place. You wish he was sitting with you. And I see you walking around the church by yourself. You come to church by yourself. You go home by yourself. And so I want to honor you this morning. I know it's not easy. I know. Because and I never call you by name because I don't want to embarrass you, but I want you to know I thank God for the job that you're doing. I thank God. I know it's not easy because I've seen my mother do it. I've seen her do it time and time again. So thank God for your Jediah. Thank God that you keep on coming to church even though you come by yourself, sit by yourself, and leave by yourself. You still do what you know you need to do. And I thank God for you doing that. I thank God for the Jediahs that say, I'm going to do my best to teach my children and my grandchildren to believe the Bible and to believe in God no matter what. And I'm just going to keep on doing it. And that's what I praise God for. So just hang in there, Jediah, and don't give up. Don't turn back. Keep swimming upstream against the current. And someday you just may have a Josiah. You may just have a man or woman of God that will raise their own godly family. And then it'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all when you get to that point. Secondly, this morning I'd like to honor those that are raising their children alone, having been deserted by their husbands, like my mother was. I can see you sitting there while other couples are sitting around you, maybe a husband and wife sitting together. It's not easy. You maybe remember times when maybe your husband used to sit with you, or maybe he never did, in my mother's case, another woman came between my mother and father. In fact, it was my mother's best friend. It was a sad situation. And for the reason why my father left my mother was because another woman came between them. And it was not easy for my mother. And I still remember mother. Everywhere she went by herself. Walked by herself after she got a driver's license. After I went into service, she drove. But she was always going by herself, doing everything by herself. There was nobody alongside of her, nobody there. So I salute you. I know it's not easy. I know it's a lonely life. I know it's heartbreaking sometimes. But so may God help us that have our spouses alongside of us, or at least have our spouses still with us, to never forget these dear Jediahs. Never forget these ladies that live alone. They fill out their income tax alone. They cut their grass alone. They maintain their home alone. They have to be both mother and father to their children and to their grandchildren, and they have to try to do that. And they just wish somebody would come alongside of them and be a father-like figure to their children. Just be a father-like figure to the children. I think that's why I went to battalion and brigade growing up, Christian Boy Scouts, if you will, of the church. And I remember doing that all my life. And mom encouraged me to do that because there were men there, and they kind of mentored us and kind of set the example for us young guys who didn't have any dads at home. There were a few of us then, but there are probably much more now. And listen, I know what I'm talking about because I was raised by a Jediah like that. So I salute you ladies today that do these things by yourself. And I know it's not easy. So I praise God for you, Jediah. And then thirdly, I'd like to honor those mothers whose husbands are in heaven. Some dear ladies have memories of not only what their children used to do for them when they were at home, but when what their husband used to do for them. The husband used to make Mother's Day special for them. And now he's in heaven. He can't be there. It's difficult. It's very difficult. For some reason, God chose to take him home to heaven. And you miss him every day. And I can understand that. especially on holidays. That's why I say holidays are wonderful days for those with families, but difficult days for those whose families are fragmented and separated and fractured by divorce or separation or whatever it may be, or by just promotion to glory. It's difficult, it really is. But I want you to know, I have not forgotten you. And God has not forgotten you, most importantly. You are not forgotten. You are prayed for. So just hang in there and just be the Jediah that God wants you to be. And God will bless you for doing that. He really will. And fourthly, I'd like to honor those mothers that are caring for a special needs child or a disabled husband. I know one of our dear ladies at home, you know, Faye, I was talking to her this past week and she's still not well. For 5 years, 6 years, she cared for her husband Nick, of course, whom she loved dearly. And then of course Nick went home to be with the Lord about a year ago, and she put off all her physical situations that she had in her own life. And now, you know, she had emergency surgery and she's trying to recover from that. And it's just a long road back for Faye. So I want to continue to pray for Faye. And there are many ladies like Faye that have gone through so very much. Some mothers and wives are pushing a son or a daughter around in a wheelchair. And some mothers are devoted to entire lives to lovingly take care of their loved ones. And it's not peaches and cream for you. Life is not easy. And perhaps you don't have a husband now to help you. Perhaps you don't have children that live close by. They can assist you and help you in that way. But yet keep living for the Lord and keep believing the Lord. And I praise God for you. Don't turn back. Listen, you are the hope. Mothers are the hope of this nation. Mothers are the hope of this nation. For if we don't get mothers right with God, this nation is gone. This nation is gone. There's the hope of this nation is mothers. And nothing is wrong with this nation that couldn't be fixed by mothers getting back to being godly mothers for the Lord. There's nothing wrong with this nation that couldn't be cured if mothers got back to the Lord and got on fire for God and started living for God and did that before their families. So please don't give up, Jediah. Don't give up. It'll be worth it all when you see your Josiah doing what he should do, or she doing what she should do, raising a godly family and teaching a Sunday school class and being a respected person and doing right and not doing wrong. It'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. Believe me. Just hang in there. It'll be worth it all. So don't give up. Don't give up if your husband doesn't come with you. Don't give up if your husband is in heaven. Don't give up if your husband has deserted you. Don't give up if you're caring for a disabled husband or a special needs child. And fifthly, then I would like to honor those mothers who suffer illness and pain while they're doing their motherly task. I mean, you know, mothers care for somebody who has cancer, but they have cancer themselves. They have their own health situations and own situations they have to care for. Others do the motherly task while they're crippled and have arthritic problems and health conditions. And so I salute you ladies today that are doing what you need to do in spite of your own situation. So don't give up. Do what Jediah did. And I'm sure nothing's mentioned about this lady's health conditions here, but I'm sure she had situations that back in those days, can you imagine? And she still did what God wanted her to do. One day it'll be worth it all. Then sixth, I would like to honor those mothers who are rearing their children in poverty. I'm talking about mothers who, you know, come to church and the children may not have the best of clothes to wear and they might not have the nicest of home to go back to and they may not have their own bedroom. They may not have, you know, they may not get a car for graduation. I still remember just like yesterday when one of my closest friends, that actually when he graduated a year after I, when he graduated, his father gave him a new car. That was quite a big deal back then. And a big deal today. Can you imagine? Gave him a brand new car. And I remember when I graduated, I was fortunate to get a wristwatch. And I was thankful for the wristwatch that I got. But there are mothers that can't send their children to college. They'd like to go, but they can't. There are mothers that cry because they can't give their children what they'd like to give their children, provide for their children, what they'd like to provide for their children. I remember my mother wanted me to go to college. We didn't have enough money for me to go to college. We didn't have enough money for a car, let alone go to college. So, you know, we walked everywhere we went and did everything, you know, in that way. I remember, and you've heard me say this before, we lived in this, I always tell my wife I married up because she came from Ridley Township and I came from another part down near Marcus Hook area, and it was kind of dicey. Where the street I lived on was dicey, and there was sewage running down the side, by the sidewalk, by the gutter and everything else, and that's what everybody remember about that. And I remember we had an old septic tank in the back, and I remember that rats used to tunnel in and lived in that septic tank area. Then they'd tunnel into our dirt floor cellar, and it'd be my job to take, milk bottles, break those Darlington milk bottles up and take them down with a baseball bat and shove them in these rat holes and hope the broken glass would keep the rats out of the basement. It never did. They just pushed it aside and came in anyway. So there was rats all over the place in the basement and nobody wanted to go down there. But it was my job to go down there and turn down the, I don't know if you remember root heaters back then. You turned the gas on. You didn't have hot water. You turned the hot water when you lit the stove downstairs to turn it on. And then you made to make sure you turn it off. It'll blow the place up at night. So I remember my job was to feed the furnace with coal and all that. And I remember as a boy, when others would be driving with their parents, and I was just envied just that they had parents, let alone they had a car. So they'd be having the car and they had a dad and they'd be driving to the market and I'd be pulling my little Red Ryder wagon up to the market and where we lived, it was a number of blocks away, and at 13, 14, and 15, that, I guess the Lord knew I needed humility, so he gave me humility. And here I am seeing these, my friends driving by in their cars and waving, and here I'm pulling my little Red Ryder wagon home with groceries in all kinds of weather. And I did that until I turned 16 and I finally bought a $75 car. So you can imagine, so there was no money for a car. It certainly wasn't any money for college back then. So I know what it's like to see a mother cry because she doesn't have enough money to do for her family like she liked to do for her family. She wants to do more for her children than she can do for her children. So I salute you ladies today. I really do. I would remind you ladies, as I remind myself, that more faithful servants of God have come from poverty stricken conditions than from palace conditions. They have come from poverty-stricken conditions more than from palace conditions. The great men and women of God have come out of, not so much out of palaces, but out of poverty. So I remember that one of the greatest persons, of course, you know as well as I do, that ever walked the face of the earth came from a town called Nazareth. And when they heard that Jesus came from Nazareth, they said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And we who know the Lord say, "Yes, the Son of the Living God." The Son of the Living God can come out of Nazareth. So if the Son of the Living God can come out of Nazareth, you can come out of wherever you were raised, and you can be what God wants you to be. If you have a godly mother to help you along that way, you really can. And so, praise God for the Jediahs that raised their children in poverty. And, you know, we were poor and we didn't even know we were poor. And then seventh, I want to honor those mothers whose children and child rearing days are past. And I'm talking about us who are senior citizens. No longer do we hear the sound of little feet running across the floor anymore. Not unless the dog's feet. No longer do we hear a child's hand and saying mommy and putting their hand on us and touching our cheek. So it's quiet at your house now. It's quiet at our houses now. And but we have plenty of wonderful memories of when our children were small, especially special days like Mother's Day. So I salute the senior citizens of our church, you ladies, and especially you ladies that have these wonderful memories. Thank you for setting a godly example for your children. Thank you for being a godly mom and a godly grandmother, perhaps, for the children that are looking to you. What a joy it is to pastor you. What a joy it is to be just part of your life and the pastor here. And then eighth, I would like to honor those ladies who have never been privileged to bear children or raise their own children. I mean, you hope to. You hoped to. I mean, you had your own dreams of being a mother, but for some reason, just God did not have that in plans for you to have a child. And you and your husband are childless, and you have to live that way. So when others go to parent teachers meetings at school, you have no reason to go. And while others may go to see their children graduate from nursery school or grammar school or intermediate school or high school or from college, you have no reason to go. While others go to see their children playing little league games, you have no reason to go. And while others may walk the aisle to see their loved one being a given away in marriage, or maybe have the privilege of giving their daughter away in marriage, you know that will never happen to you. And while others may have baby showers, you know you'll never experience that. And so I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. I know it's beyond sometimes control. I know it causes sadness. But listen, you don't have to be a mother to have a mother's heart. You don't have to be a mother to have a mother's heart. And praise God, many of you have a mother's heart. Even though you may not be a mother, you have a mother's heart. And so I praise God for that. And I praise God for your godly attitude in spite of that. And then ninth, I'd like to honor those ladies that have never been married or may never marry. Not only don't have children, but they never married. I salute the Jediahs today that will never walk down the aisle to being married. I honor the Jediahs today that will never wear a wedding dress. I honor the Jediahs today that will never have a wedding shower. I honor the Jediahs today that will never exchange wedding vows on an altar. God bless you, ladies. Thank you for your happy spirit and your gracious spirit and your godly spirit, even despite the fact that you may never marry or never have children. And then finally, I'd like to honor those ladies that have given birth only to see that child go home to heaven as a little baby, as a child. It's just the reversal of what it should be. It should be children attending their parents' funeral, not the parents attending children's funeral. But some of you ladies have stood in that place, perhaps you men as well, and it's not an easy situation. After 9 months of carrying your child in that little bundle of joy and looking forward to childbirth and going through the valley of the shadow of death and the jaws of death and to give birth to a lovely child only to see that precious child breathe his last breath and being taken home to heaven. I truly want to honor you for just being a godly lady and knowing God has a plan and knowing that every child that goes to heaven before they reach the age of accountability goes to heaven. And that's the only silver lining, by the way. That's the only silver lining. We're going to be speaking about this in the future in about 4 messages on abortion. That's the only silver lining in abortion. Every one of those aborted children have been promoted to heaven. Every one of them have been promoted to heaven, covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ in their innocence. And so we have a wonderful godly army of Jediahs. And praise God for the Jediahs. I praise God for you. And I praise God that for what you have done. And may I say, for if you may not be a Jediah, that is, your children are well, your husband is still at home, he hasn't gone home to heaven, you are well, and your children love you, your husband loves you, then I salute you today. But we ought to thank God that we have that situation. Because a lot of families don't have that situation. So thank God. We ought to thank God for the blessings that we have while we have them, before we no longer have them and before they're gone. Do we realize how blessed we are? I don't think so many, many times. But if you're a Jediah, just keep on going. Don't give up. Don't become discouraged. Don't get disheartened. Just be raising your Josiah for the Lord, boy or girl, raise them for the Lord, and God will bless you for it. God will bless you for it. How precious are the words of the hymn, "Tell mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer, this message blessed Savior to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there, heaven's joys with her to share. O Savior, tell my darling mother I'll be there." I hope you will, by knowing Christ is your personal Savior. What a wonderful day to accept Christ if you never have. I hope you will today. And those of us who know Christ, may we be so thankful for the Jediahs that God has placed into our lives. And as we look at our lives and we look at where we maybe should be and where we are, are the things in our life that we need to straighten out with the Lord so we can be a more of a Jediah that God wants us to be, more of a husband that God wants us to be to the Jediah that God gave us as a wife and as the mother of our children. I hope we will. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed right now, I would remind us all that indeed that the Bible tells us that thou shalt honor thy mother. And that's, again, was written by the very finger of God in stone. And that has not changed. And so can I ask you, are you honoring your mother? Are you honoring your mother? I mean, not just verbally, but I mean in expressions of kindness and graciousness and appreciation and gratitude. Are you honoring your mother? Are you showing that in action to your mother? And husbands, to your wife, who's the mother of your children. Your wife. Are you showing your wife how much you appreciate her? Do you realize what she has gone through for you? Do you realize what your mother or wife has gone through for you? How she sacrificed for you? How hard she has worked or works for you? And do you realize what she's doing for you? How come we don't realize it until it's all over? And then we wish we realized it earlier. Would you ask God for forgiveness right now? You say, I know the Lord, but I know I need to be more appreciative. I need to be more understanding. I need to be more sensitive. I need to be more in gratitude for what God has given to me. I have a wonderful mother. I had a wonderful mother. I have a wonderful wife. I will be more in appreciation for what God has given to me. Won't you just tell the Lord that right now? Lord, help me to show that to my loved one. Help me to show them. Help me to show my mom. Help me to show my wife. Help me to show my mother. Help me to show them how much I really love them and care for them and appreciate them. Is God speaking to your heart today as a believer? If he is, would you slip up your hand right where you are, please? Right where you are and just slip it down. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for being so honest today. Yes, ma'am. Thank you also for being so honest and open before God. Anyone else? And may I remind you also that your mother may have prayed for your salvation for years. I mean, she's done everything possible for you. She's brought you to church. She's given you the word of God. She's tried to help you every which way possible. And now it's up to you. If you've never given your heart to Christ, you need to do that today. You need to do that right now. Ask Christ to come into your life right now. What a wonderful day to do that on. Mother's Day. What a wonderful way to honor your mother who has poured her blood, sweat, and tears and went through the valley of the shadow of death for you and is still doing for you. And you know she's doing for you. Everything she possibly can, she's doing for you. And she wants you to share eternal life with her one day in glory as well. She won't always be there, but she'll always be in heaven. If you know Christ is saving you, see her again. So ask Christ into your life right now. Is God speaking to your heart today? Would you just raise your hand if he is? I want to know the Lord. I'm not sure I know the Lord. Here's my hand, Pastor, between you and I and God. Father, I do thank you for your word today. I thank you for the opportunity of being able to, Lord, speak about the Jediahs that you have, Lord, blessed me with here in pastoring and having part of their lives and seeing their families. Some of these ladies have gone and are going through deep waters. They need you now more than ever before. Would you help them? Would you care for them? Would you provide for them? Would you let them know how much we care for them and how much they are appreciated and held in deep gratitude? And we honor them today. Thank you for those that have been so impactful on our life. Lord, really set the example for us and help us to follow their example, Lord, for others that are looking to us now for an example. And I do pray, Father, you might help these ladies have a wonderful day today as, Lord, we honor them. Help us as husbands, Lord, to our mothers if they're still with us, and our wives if they're still with us. Help us, Lord, we pray, to show our appreciation for them, to show our love for them, not just say it, but to show it in deed and in actions and in, not just in words. And we'll give you the praise for it, for we ask it and pray it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.